And now for the podcast. There we go. What
you were just like, talking about, T? What are we talking about?
You were throttling. Yeah, he was throttling it really slow. Did you see that? He just was like,
I was trying to keep up with you. You were in like slow motion.
You guys were slow as hell.
I was in slow motion. I was trying to speed up, and then I just had to slow down with him. I guess it's Discord.
It is what it is. It is what it is. You want to do it again, Ariane? Take two.
No.
We don't wake up for houses.
Hey, Spay. Oh, hi.
Hello, listeners.
Everyone, ladies, gentlemen.
Did you forget your name for a second there?
I don't know. Ladies, gentlemen, and those beyond the binary, hey, I'm T, that's Spade, and Lisa Lassi Guapa herself, Ariane.
I don't know who I'm posing for. Nobody can see me.
Yeah, I would say nobody saw that pose but us, Ariane.
Yeah, that's all good. It's all good. Ariane's always be posing. Oh, she got a big red goblet. Did you see that?
It looks like Cyclops' visor when the reflection on her face.
I was about to say Elvira, but yeah, no, definitely.
I wish. That'd be so cool. I love Elvira. Mistress of the dark.
So, Smade, what are we talking about this issue of the podcast?
Well, I hope by our discombobulated intro, everyone kind of got the point. But yeah, we're rocking with the X-Men this week. Very excited. First time we're actually going to talk about the X-Men on the podcast. Almost 90 episodes in.
X-Men 97.
Yeah.
So this is my jam. I'm all about this stuff. I was 12 years old when the first probably younger than that, when the first cartoon came out in the 90s. I was totally into it. Ariane, you weren't even born really, right? You were like 3 years old probably when this came out. And T, you hated it, let's go.
How was I wasn't born and also 3 years old at the same time?
Time is a flat circle.
No, I mean, you obviously were too young when this came out to remember it in the 90s, right? T was
I wasn't
too old.
No, but I watched it. I watched it as a kid. Of course
did
I
you?
Did. The thing is, like, I think they had it in like reruns or something. It ran from 92 to 97.
I guess you're older than I thought. I always think you're younger than you are, I guess.
It ran from 92 to 97, so I definitely watched it, you know, as a kid. Because it came on Channel 5, right? Fox Kids?
It was Channel 5, Saturday mornings. Yeah, like 11 o'clock.
Yeah, so I absolutely watched it. But, you know, I don't have specific memories of, like, episodes at all. But, like, obviously I remember the theme song and the intro and just like the characterization of everybody, just like the way I think about the X-Men stems from the cartoon. And I think for everybody, really,
I think that's a lot of people's take. Like these cartoons from the 90s are the definitive version of the X-Men characters that they remember.
For millennials, right?
Right. Yeah. Not someone like around your age, T. I know you were probably
No, 92. I turned 21 in college.
Oh, okay.
So
all right. So
I was hitting the bars. So Saturday mornings, I was hungover.
So it's like no wonder you didn't like it because you were definitely not the target audience at all.
It's more complicated than that, I think, and maybe that's some of why this doesn't sing to me. You know what I mean? But we could get into that. There are four episodes in so far, right? And we all made it up to the Mojo episode, which was episode 4.
Right.
I remember watching when it was first being released like once or twice. I think I remember an episode where Wolverine is like fighting Omega Red or something like that.
That's in there. I mean, they did basically everything.
Yeah. So and I didn't feel it. I wasn't feeling it then. And I wasn't completely out of comic books at that point. I had really dialed back because like, in the 80s, like from 1980 to like 1990, my brother and I pretty much bought every single Marvel comic book that was released. And at that time, you could still do it, you know, on a kid's budget. They started off that decade with like 35-cent comics.
I was going to ask. I didn't want you to think I was making funny, but I was going to really ask, like, how much was a comic book back then? They had to be less than
when
a
I
dollar,
when
I'm
I,
sure, right?
Right. When I started buying it, it was 35 cents. Right.
Wow.
And what happened was I went to college at the same time. I kind of dialed everything back at the same time. everything, that like the worst of 90s comics came out, where it was everything was extreme, right?
And the Rob Liefeld special.
Right. This team that they have, and I didn't watch the original series, so I don't know how different the team was then. But this team
it's,
that they
it's
had.
It's the same. The core is the same.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So that's more the team and the look of the team with that like rebooted X-Men number one with Jim Lee or Rob Liefeld or one of those guys. And it was a time when it, that like I didn't like that when it came out. And when I was in the 90s, when I was collecting comic books, I was doing more Alan Moore. I was going for like special, you know, specific writers and artists. And I skipped over all that. I skipped over all that stuff. I mean, I have all the McFarlane like Spider-Man.
Oh, okay.
Well, I have all the McFarlane Spider-Mans. But when Spawn came out, I was like, what is this? I don't like this. And everybody was like, Spawn is the best. And I'm like, I don't get it, right? So, like, when... And that's about that same... When that gong hit. This isn't my X-Men team, you know? They have Jubilee in there. And, I mean, I'm like, why isn't it Kitty Pryde? It's like the thing I can't figure out. Why would they have her instead of...
Because they needed a cool 80s mall kid, you know? It's totally cool. You know? It was the era of...
There you go. Yeah, right? There you go. Kitty Pryde is a character with such... Did she show up in the original episodes?
I watched them, obviously, in the 90s, but I remember, like, Saturdays were tough because I used to play baseball and stuff like that, so I would miss a lot of the episodes. So I watched them all, like, I want to say at this point, it's over 10 years ago. Netflix had them on DVD, and I actually rented the series that way and started from the beginning and got all the way to the end. Now, the first, like, 2 to 3 seasons are really, really good, and then it just kind of falls off towards the end. It gets really weird. They do some really, like, out there stuff. But to your point, T, at some point or another, basically every single X-Men character you can think of showed up in this comic, in this cartoon. I mean, Colossus... Banshee,
right.
Kitty Pryde, Nightcrawler, Angel, everybody.
So my X-Men team, and this is why it doesn't sink to me, my X-Men team is, at the heart of it is Kitty Pryde and Nightcrawler, Colossus is there, Beast is an Avenger, and when I'm reading comic books, you know, Aurora is there, it's like Wolverine, Colossus, Aurora, Cyclops is always there, you know, right. And Kitty Jean Pryde. Yeah, and Jean Grey, but like this was like right after the death of Phoenix, when my brother and I have the death of Phoenix, but that was when I was really young, right? And I read that, but then when I was reading it, it was the aftermath of Jean Grey's death.
The original show from the 90s, the Phoenix stuff they do is awesome because they do it with the Phoenix as the good Phoenix, then they do the Phoenix with the dark Phoenix and the death of Jean Grey. They bring in the Hellfire Club, the Starjammers, everybody that's involved. Like, they really follow the comic book pretty closely from what I remember. They adapted a lot of the main storylines. Like, they did Days of Future Past and stuff, too.
I remember that's what people really liked about that show, is that they pretty much adapted the comics as they were, you know, with very little deviation.
Well, I mean, my understanding is that they collapsed storylines like they did with this last one, with the Madeline Pryor storyline. Like, the Madeline Pryor storyline took place in the 80s after the death of Jean Grey. And that storyline took like 5 years to get from, oh, Jean Grey's back, but that's not Jean Grey, it's Madeline Pryor. And then boom, 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 boom.
To the Goblin Queen stuff.
Right. So, and when the Goblin Queen was coming out, that was just, I was done, you know.
Yeah, see, I don't remember where the cartoon ended with Jean Grey. I remember Professor X went off, but after the Phoenix stuff, I don't remember her coming back. And I'd have to look up the IMDb and do like a run through of episodes and see if she ever came back. Because I think after like the Phoenix saga, I feel like that was going to be the end of the show. When they were like, no, it's too popular, let's bring it back. And that's when they started doing like really weird stuff with Danger. Those, you know, the weird characters.
Danger, I'm not familiar.
Danger's like a robot that like... is a living version of the Danger Room that like the Danger Room converted to it's like really weird what like virus stuff. Like, remember in this episode with the Nintendo or the Sega, whatever it's supposed to be, that takes over Jubilee, and how it had all the
The Motendo?
Yeah, the Motendo, yeah.
I didn't play that game, you know, but it was pretty much the game. They just did an episode on the game, right? So those member berries weren't for me, you know what I mean? It was...
I mean, it's fun. There's fun little nods in here to come.
So now, I don't hate this. I don't hate this. I just kind of like...
I think this show I'm sorry, T. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, go for it. I've been talking a lot.
No. I mean, I was just going to say, I mean, I know we all have certain feelings about it, but from my understanding, what the consensus across the board is that this show is, one, it's great, but it's also, like, a huge improvement from the original series, even just in terms of the animation. Because the animation in the original series, some of it is not great.
Well, I mean, it all animation in the 90s Saturday morning cartoon was like, you know, cutting corners at all things. And it's not like watching Into the Spider-Verse. You're just not, you know,
I mean, I guess for the time period, Ariane, to make your point, like Batman the Animated Series is probably like,
the gold standard, right? That's what I'm saying. In comparison to like stuff like that, you know, and even just, if you look at like early seasons of The Simpsons versus, you know, even stuff from season 3 onward, it's just like it's night and day in terms of the comparison with animation. But it seems like with X-Men, like the animation was good for like the first couple of seasons and then just really just fell off. And plus, like, I mean, I don't know how common of a practice it is now, but like I know in the 90s it was very common to just outsource animation to Korea and China and stuff like that.
I think that came later because there was a little bit of an improvement, I guess, to the, because they could get more bang for their buck out there. Right. I think that came. I think it's the early 90s. It was too early for that, but I could be wrong. So don't, you know, let me not speak with authority as something I have absolutely no idea about.
But I think at least from the reports I saw, that this show is the highest rated and best reviewed Marvel project since the MCU started, like, ever.
I'm seeing stuff online where people are like, yeah, it's fine. It's kind of crunchy. It's like everything I've seen, it's they enjoying it, but it's not great.
No, I know.
That's what I'm seeing.
Like, I know, but like that's anecdotal. That's like individual, you know, stuff.
But but this is like, you know, YouTubers with a lot of followers that aren't like completely like toxic fanboys that are like a little bit level-headed kind of thing. So I mean, I think it's nostalgia. That's all nostalgia. I don't think it's...
It is nostalgia. It is nostalgia. I think it's leaning into that. But as someone who doesn't have like a lot of nostalgia for it, like I said, the only real memories I have of this show is like the theme song itself and like nothing much else. But just in terms of like the story, I'm just like, huh, this is like watching... It's kind of soap opera-y in a way, but in a way that's like really fun and still kind of appropriate for kids, but also not making me feel like cringe or embarrassed to be watching this. Because when I watch some like old clips of like the original, I'm just like, this is stupid. Like, this is like, I was like, I don't know why I liked this so much as a kid.
Listen, I remember being traumatized by like the first episode of the original series because they introduced Morph, right, who's a brand new character created for the show back in the 90s, and he dies in the first episode and Beast dies basically. But then you find out that, you know, Beast was just taken hostage, or maybe Beast doesn't die, maybe he was just taken hostage, but Morph was like definitely like, oh, they killed him. And then 7 or 8 episodes later he comes back, you know, and it was like, for a long time, as a you know, 10-year-old kid, I thought he was dead.
This show has like real consequences and real stakes. Like the first episode, it was, you know, the Magneto stuff where he gets arrested and or whatever. Like, I don't know. Like I watched the first episode. I was like, whoa, shit is like going down. Like stuff is really going down. And it feels serious.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing with the X-Men, right? It's like a political drama. I mean, even like the movies, right? It was like the same thing, like. The characters are in real life situations dealing with the fallout of real people and how they would be accepted in the real world, right? Like, that's the whole point of the X-Men.
No, I know. That's the whole
I don't mean to go back and give pushback, Ariane, but where is it reviewed so highly?
I know Rotten Tomatoes is a flawed metric, but, you know, based on an aggregate, it really is reviewed very highly. I mean, by professional critics, you know, not just YouTubers, people who are verified.
So you think that episode of the, now I'm not asking your opinion. You think that episode with Mr. Sinister is good?
I really liked it. Dude, they gave me a Jean Girl magical girl, Jean Grey magical girl transformation. Just that alone sent it over the edge for me. That is appealing to me, personally. They did like a little, you guys know the magical girl thing like they do in Sailor Moon. Like the Sailor Moon transformations.
The spinning around, whatever.
Yeah. Yes.
From what Ariane is saying is true, because like all the other podcasts I listen to, like people are really, really enjoying the show. I don't know if they're like loving it, really, but like the first two episodes, I think are very good.
I'm not saying people are trashing it.
No.
I'm saying that people are having fun with it, but they're not being like, oh my gosh, this is transformative animation.
I mean, like you said, it's not Spider-Verse. Like I mean, I don't think anybody's watching this and saying, oh my god, this is as good as Spider-Verse. But I think the thing is, like, people are just, like, genuinely enjoying this for what it is.
Right, and right. No, I'm not saying they're not enjoying it. I'm asking if it's, like, good.
Because it's not bad. You know what I mean?
It's not
bad, like, by any stretch of the imagination.
Yesterday, I enjoyed a quarter pound, double quarter pounder with cheese. Is that good food?
No, exactly.
You know what I mean?
This is my point. Like Marvel for better or for worse is the pizza and burgers of entertainment at this point, you know?
Right, right.
We're all enjoying this. It's trashy and it's silly, but it's fun.
But Ariane, you know, as Anthony always says, don't we hate fun?
You just do. That's why T doesn't like it.
I was trying to do it, Joe, didn't I?
No, I know, but it's just like, no.
Listen, I don't get it. I think Gambit is a trash character. I think he's a trash character. And that once he was invented and put in there, all of a sudden Rogue's like, oh my gosh, it's a thing. And then all of a sudden I'm a stupid Southern girl all of a sudden.
No.
When did Rogue become she was always Southern, but like she was like a complicated character, and then it was like, oh my gosh, I love Remy. Really, you know what I mean?
It's like
trash sockheads. Everybody got everybody in the. Okay, I'm gonna rant.
Go for it.
It's like they took that X-Men number one issue, like the reboot of the X-Men number one issue, and they went, let's make that into a thing. It was like Jubilee and Booing and Bang. Oh, the Gambit just like the words. Oh, let's get a superhero. Let's give him playing cards. Okay. How 90s.
Okay. Is it like the romance aspect that gives you like no?
No.
I like what's going on here between Rogue, Magneto, and him.
I do too.
That happened in the comic books too.
Yeah.
But it's all a misunderstanding because they're Rogue's and Magneto's relationship wasn't like that or whatever it's going to turn out.
Well, I want to see where it's going to go.
It's a Three's Company misunderstanding it's going to turn out to be.
Yeah, I know, but either way, that's not the point of the drama. The drama is that, like, oh, there's tension here.
I don't mind the drama. Listen, Kitty Pryde and Colossus's relationship was a very, very prized kind of thing when I was a kid reading that comic book and those people in there. And, like, Roberta Da Costa, they're putting him in here out of context of the rest of the New Mutants.
That's my little problem with this show a little bit. If you go back and watch the first episode from the 90s, they basically did the same storyline again, only they swapped out Jubilee with him. So Jubilee is like in the mall with her friends and Sentinels attack.
Yeah.
That's the whole premise of the first episode is Sentinels attack.
He's the audience surrogate, basically, at this point. They made him, because that's the point of Jubilee. Jubilee is the audience surrogate, where she's just like, I don't know what this world about mutants is. Who are all you people? And da-da-da. And so now Roberto's like basically that role.
Right,
because
but
they can't have Jubilee
past that
again.
Point?
I mean, not
you know,
necessarily.
They still have to accommodate for new audience. But if you go rewatch the very first episode, it's basically the same thing.
Yeah, I know, but I'm not going to do that, and a lot of people are not going to do that, you know?
So I bet you a lot of people did do that.
Sure,
I have a question
did.
For you guys. I have a question for you guys. What's Mr. Sinister's superpowers?
He's
a geneticist.
Sinister.
I don't think he has. He has
superpowers. Really? He doesn't have superpowers?
So he just looks like that?
I'm
he just is like in these big battles with all these
class
1000 class 1000 mutants and
isn't he immortal? Isn't he like accidentally immortal?
I looked it up. You know what his superpowers are? The Cartman superpowers. I'm a hero with all the powers. He just okay. Give me the log line of this character, right? Like, teenager bitten by a radioactive spider, learns that, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. Gains the proportionate strength and speed of a spider.
Adhesive fingertips and toes.
What is Mr. Sinister? Give me a quick description of him.
He's an evil scientist. Because I certainly don't know. Yeah.
He's Dr. Frankenstein.
Isn't that most of the bad guys in X-Men? Aren't all X-Men bad guys evil scientists? Isn't just that their thing?
So you're not distinguishing him for me, right? Give me a description. Who is Mr. Sinister?
But Spade just said he's an evil scientist.
That guy with the little Hindu thing in the middle of his face, but that's a diamond. It's not really a thing, right? Who is he? He has this kind of weird, like, five capes.
Right.
That are like tassels.
Right, the sticking up things.
So you don't like what he looks. You don't like how he looks.
I had to look up three different places to really get an idea of who Mr. Sinister was.
All right, so you tell us then.
You can't. It's convoluted.
Aren't most comics convoluted?
If you just Google Mr. Sinister's powers, it says telepathy, superhuman stamina, telekinesis, cellular shapeshifting, superhuman strength, mind control, superhuman reflexes, explosion.
Teleportation.
And healing factor. And then it says 15 more, but I got to click on it.
Right. So I'm going to break it down. He is an evil geneticist, like the Bene Gesserit, wants to manipulate
Jean Grey for Cable.
Right. No, wait, not just Jean Grey, but like the bloodlines to create the ultimate mutant, right? So that I could see. But you know what? He himself is this ultimate mutant. Why is he doing that then?
The quest for science has no limit, you know?
Right. So, but what I'm saying is, I'm not criticizing necessarily this show. I'm criticizing the character of Mr. Sinister, which is the worst of the 90s, which the reason why I have a hard time connecting with the show is because it reminds me of the excesses of comic storylines in the 90s, supplementing character to like really kind of surface coolness douchebaggery, you know, which is really, really popular. See Deadpool, you know?
Are we going to make T watch both of those Deadpool movies, by the way, before the new one?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, we should do a Deadpool episode for sure.
Right.
But T, to your point, like when you're mentioning Deadpool, do people like these characters or they just think they look cool and that's why they like them?
I mean, it's kind of like Batman. He looks cool.
People love it. People love Batman.
Batman's a bad comparison.
For example, The Incredible Hulk. The core character is a pure idea.
Well, it's Jekyll and Hyde, right?
Mad scientist creates a bomb, a gamma bomb, an ultimate weapon of destruction, but is hit by its radiation when he tried to save a hippie, turning him into the monster, the Incredible Hulk. But he realizes that he was already a monster for being the guy creating the bomb. Real simple kind of idea behind it, right?
Right.
These beautiful, simplified archetypes that come out, right, that are there. I think in the 90s were stripped away from these characters. The more pouches they could have, the more guns they could have. There was a thing of X-Men where Wolverine is carrying guns. Why does Wolverine have a gun?
Right.
His thing is claws. Why have claws if you have a gun?
Guns are faster. You can distance.
So, right. But then that's why you need Colossus, because then you have the fastball special.
Right.
You guys know what the fastball special is?
Yeah, when he throws him.
Yeah, Colossus throws Wolverine, right.
They did it in the terrible X-Men The Last Stand. Oh,
but yeah. It wasn't Colossus. Oh, it was Colossus.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't. He was in
the... Oh, but he grabbed them by the thing and he swung them around instead of taking them off the thing.
He swung them around like you do the Olympics, you know?
The little of that I've seen of the Deadpool, I really like how they did Colossus in Deadpool. I mean, just the character design and the thing and just how his...
Colossus is really good in those movies, actually.
But, I mean, he's a little bit dopey. Colossus is more poetic of a person. Okay, let me say what I like about
Yeah, be nice. Say something nice.
Well, I like Magneto's outfit. I think that they went right with the comics there, because that was a good storyline in the comics. I have those, and that was still the 1980s, where Magneto wants
to go as leader.
Goes good. You're right. Right. Yeah. Xavier leaves to be with Lilandra of the Shi'ar Empire, and Magneto goes over to take over the team. Right, and he has those gloves, those fabulous gloves, man. It's like. And that's pre, like, you wouldn't have seen that, like, halfway through the 90s, you wouldn't have seen a costume design like that. But that, I think that's really good. The Goblin Queen episode, I liked the scene with Wolverine over Jean Grey in the hospital, like, in the thing, right, in the hospital bed.
I'll show you a C-section, bub, that when a doctor wouldn't operate on her.
I have a thing about that. That's my stupid nitpick with that bit. I was just like, you mean Scott and Jean didn't have a birth plan? You know, they just showed up to a hospital and hoped that somebody would deliver their baby. And it's just like, haven't you guys been going to your appointments? Like, what's happening here?
Well, I think the baby was early. I think she just went into labor with all the other stuff going on.
But no matter why, but my assumption that it was that this was being taken care of by the Beast. Because he's the doctor. Isn't he their doctor?
Right, and no one was there. Right.
I guess so. But, I mean, that's just us placing a lot of assumptions. But still, that's like my one like little nitpick. But I know it's not realistic. That's just me applying real world logic to something like ridiculous. But continue, sorry.
Because they couldn't go to a normal doctor because they're mutants and they won't treat them.
Right.
Right? There's racism, right? But anyway, back to Wolverine over the deathbed. There was a moment there where I saw, because the first episode, Wolverine's like, I'm an angry dwarf. It's just as bad to make him an angry dwarf as it is to make him 6 foot tall. You know, he is a romantic character. You know, I don't know how much they, you know, delve into it. But at this point, he is like a Buddhist meditating. You know, the X-Men comics that I had, it was like, you know, Wolverine went hunting and then Aurora got upset. And then it was, no, he was just going up to like touch a deer, you know, and sneaking up on the deer close enough to just touch him without the deer even noticing that he had come. And there's this kind of side to Wolverine, which is that part where being in touch with nature, all the kind of things and this kind of, and yes, of course, he gets angry. He does a thing and, you know, Wolverine becomes a parody of himself in the 90s, but at that thing when they're like, oh, I have to, like, he's talking, oh, thank you, and then she goes, oh, but Scott, and you could see the heartbreak on his face in the animation.
Well, he's just so in love with her, and she's,
right.
She's with the Boy Scout.
I love it.
Right. Or the captain of the football team.
Here's the thing, though. Wolverine doesn't know that that's not Jean Grey. He can't smell that it's Madeline Pryor.
I mean, if it's a clone, wouldn't it be, what's it called, identical?
Technically, yeah, I guess so.
You know?
I guess that's comic book logic. You got to leave it up to
and
that.
And she didn't even know she was a clone.
That would get away in the storyline.
Favorite song, T, if you want to destroy.
To destroy my sweater. Yeah, you can't, like, they, you know.
You could,
like,
only pull on the thread so much, yeah.
Listen, Every single horror movie now, the cell phone system has to go down. You know what I mean? You can't, like, my battery's run out. You have to take out the cell phone first, right?
I'll tell you what, the Madeline Pryor stuff really tricked me. I mean, I know that Cable is her son, but the whole time I'm watching this, it didn't even dawn on me that it was Madeline Pryor.
When Cable came out, then I was already out of comic books. So, like, I knew Cable. It's like, who? Cable? Is he? But it's like, you know, isn't that... And who's Marvel Boy? Isn't it the same character? I don't know, right? There's like so many alternate timelines.
I'm trying to think now. I don't even remember. But yeah, actually, I thought the Jean Grey that showed up at the house, I thought it was actually going to be Rachel Summers. I thought it was going to be their daughter from like the future who was coming to take Cable into the future. That's what I thought that they were going to do. But
yeah,
you know.
That's New Mutants storyline, you know? Rachel Summers is another character. Listen, X-Men means a lot to me. And the New Mutants, when they first came out, that time there in the early to mid 80s.
So who's that? Sunspot, Wolfsbane, Magic, right?
Sunspot. No, well, Magic comes later. Magic comes later. The original team is Danny Moonstar.
Okay.
Right? Cannonball, Sam Guthrie Cannonball, Roberto Da Costa, Rain Sinclair, and it was Karma. And then they took her out pretty quick, and there was another character, Magma, and it changed. But it was really great when they had this techno-organic alien join the team for a little bit called Warlock, and he was really cool. And this is when Bill Sienkiewicz was doing the first, like, the first few things of New Mutants were good. When Bill Sienkiewicz came on, it was great. And then it took this terrible, terrible turn downhill. And that's where people like Boom Boom or... I can't tell the difference between who Boom Boom is and who Jubilee is. And that they're, like, almost the same character, you know?
Sparkle Fingers.
Doesn't it happen a lot with X-Men where eventually, like, powers just... overlap in
but then ways. Powers like don't mean anything, you know what I mean? They're just kind of like, so these characters have a lot of meaning to me, so I'm looking forward to like a retelling of those tales. But this is not like, you know, this is not my X-Men, and you know what I mean? And it's this, the theme song is great, and I like a lot of the they do some cool like fight moves and stuff like that in some of the battles they're trying to do some.
I mean, the action on the show is pretty good.
Yeah. The action's good.
Cyclops is awesome. Everyone's just like, hell yeah. They made Cyclops cool again.
Right. Because it's tough. It's like, what does he do? I'm going to shoot you with my laser eyes. But they're making him do cooler stuff with it. Like, because as Ben Grimm figured out once, like that, like he got hit by some doppelganger who was trying to imitate Cyclops, and he got burned, and he's like, wait a second, Cyclops's beams aren't hot, you know what I mean? So they're concussive blasts, so it's kind of like, and they do it wrong, they do it wrong in the movies. One time, like in the movie, he's like burns down a school or something like that with his...
Oh, that's an X-Men, in a Wolverine movie, when he's like the little kid.
That was, right, and he burns down a school, yeah. Right? It's like, you don't even know his powers.
Is that not possible?
Well, it's concussive. It's like a punch. It's not hot. It's not combustible.
They're not lasers. Right? It's not meant to be a laser.
They're not lasers. Oh, they're it's
not?
Like...
They're not fire?
No. It's not fire. No, it's concussive.
Like so an it's like, energy blast, kind of like...
It's like a big punch.
Oh, cool.
Like blunt force trauma. It's like boom, right?
So, if he takes off his glasses and opens his eyes, he won't burn people to death. He'll just like knock them out really hard.
Right, but he could.
Right, but it's always coming out when he opens his eyes.
Right, it's
constant.
Yeah, because his eyes are right. Like a conduit to another dimension where there's just
pure energy.
So, and it's just concussive force, right? Yeah, it's not burning, which is good, but still, it could just like tear down a building. You know what I mean? It could just not punch a hole through a building. You know, so.
But it won't burn it.
Right. The voice cast is really good. And I'm watching the show and I'm like, that person sounds familiar. That person sounds familiar. And some of them are the original cast. Some of them aren't. You know, Wolverine, he's the same. Beast is the same. Storm is the same. Rogue is the same. I think that might be it. But a couple of these other people, I thought they did a pretty good job mimicking the older characters.
The original Jean Grey plays like that one senator lady.
Oh, the one that Magneto and them saves when they're floating.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure, well, they had to replace the voice for Cyclops because he passed away. They had to replace the voice for Magneto because he passed away.
Ross Marquand is doing the voice for Professor X. He's getting paid by Marvel everywhere.
Well, because he's an impressionist. He can do impressions.
Ross Marquand, he played Red Skull in Infinity War and Endgame.
Okay.
He was on Walking Dead.
He did a bunch of voices on What If, I think, too.
Yeah, there's a viral video of him doing a bunch of celebrity impressions. That is pretty dang good, I must say. So I'm certain that video got him like a bunch of gigs.
I'm looking here and I see a picture of House of Dragons. Is he in House of Dragons?
I don't think so.
Maybe that's just an ad.
I knew him from Infinity The Walking War. Dead, and then he started popping up in all the Marvel stuff. Oh, he's on Invincible. He does a voice on Invincible. Actually, there's a couple voices.
So, you know, he gets steady work. Being a voice actor gets you really steady work if you're good at it.
Yeah, but you don't get paid a lot. You don't get paid a lot.
You don't get paid a lot, but that's why they do so much stuff. Some of these people have like 500 credits.
Yeah.
But no, the voice cast is good. Animation's good. I want to know why they fired, like, the creator or co-creator of the show. I want to know what
nothing ever came out about that, right?
Nope. Nothing definitive. A lot of rumors, but nothing definitive, really. But he worked on this season and the second season.
Yeah, and the second season's supposedly already done, right?
Yeah, the second season's done. But they fired him, like the day before, or maybe, like, the week before the premiere. So he couldn't, he didn't show up, and he deleted, like, all the stuff off his socials, like, promoting the show. But I don't know, it's weird. A lot of rumors.
But there's an untold tale over there.
Right? I know. I guess, I mean, the only people who probably know would be him and, you know, whoever he told, I guess. We'll never know.
I mean, I'm sure it'll come out eventually. But season one is going to be 10 episodes. The finale for May 15th. And then I guess season two, maybe drop in the fall. You know, I don't know if they're going to do like a whole year if it's already done.
I don't know nothing about this Storm storyline, so when that happened, like, in, like, the first episode, I was like, I was like, oh my god, like, this is, like, a real, like, consequence. This is real, like, crazy stuff. Like, because a lot of this stuff is, like, stories that I'm experiencing for the first time.
I have the issues when Storm loses her powers, and that she, Cyclops leaves the X-Men and she becomes the leader and she has no power. So she's just, Storm is just leading the X-Men, and she cuts her hair into a mohawk and starts dressing punk rock. And I love that.
Well, she has the mohawk.
That's probably where they're going to go, I would think, right?
Well, yeah. And I appreciated that because they were like, listen, you know, it doesn't matter that you're
a Storm shipper, by the way. So just putting that out there.
Yeah. Didn't they date for a little while in the comic books?
Yes, I need Wolverine to get over Jean Grey and move on to a real woman. Like, let's go.
Wolverine's been around the block with a lot of characters. He's almost as bad as Daredevil.
I am a Storm Wolverine shipper. That is my OTP. So yeah.
Okay, and I know this is a family podcast, so I'm gonna try and keep this as clean. But like, if a woman is ready for, you know, a little bit of Logan attention, Logan can just smell it on her. That's the thing. And that's the thing. He goes, he knows when he walks in the room. Like, just the pheromones.
Might as well use your powers for your advantage.
Right. He knows. He knows. He's, so he doesn't have to, he's like, he just knows. He's like, jeez. Okay.
That
happened one day. I saw that once in a comic book with Domino. Right? Domino was in one of the Deadpool movies, right?
Yeah.
She has like a, right?
Yep.
There was one time with the Domino, and they would, like, the fight was over, and there was a guy, he was like, hey, you know, I can smell it on you. She's like, all right, let's do this.
Cool.
I mean, well, that's comic books fact. Contain adult content, right?
No, yeah, like,
I just kept it clean so you can play it, you can listen to this in the car with your kids. Sure. You know, so
I wonder if this is going to cross over with anything else eventually, because I don't know if it's going to stay in the 90s, but the old show, the Avengers, popped up at one point. Spider-Man was in there. You know, they're supposedly doing that Wakanda animated show, and I mean, at one point Storm does marry Black Panther. I mean, I don't know how that factors in with you know, Chadwick Boseman and stuff, but
I guess it depends if they intend on making this show and maybe the Wakanda show its own separate thing where they can, like, interact with each other. Because this show, it seems like it doesn't have anything to do with the MCU proper. Like, we have What If for that, you know? This show seems to be, like, its own thing.
Because they're going to go full multiverse, though? Like, they could say this is a multiverse. Because that's the theory, that the Professor X from Multiverse of Madness is the one from the cartoon from the 90s, right? That's a prevailing theory.
If there's an infinite number of multiverses, right, then how many of those have Professor X's? How many of those have Professor X's in yellow floating wheelchairs? I mean, right? So, right. You know what I mean? It's just, it's going to influence, but it's kind of like when there's a nod and then people take things too seriously, like in Loki, where they're Thanos helicopter, right?
Right.
Is there all of a sudden a tasty cake universe for Marvel? You know, it doesn't matter, right? Right. You know right. what I mean? Right. It's just hey kids, this is funny.
Some things are just they're just jokes. They're not necessarily a whole thing to build a conspiracy around of.
Right, but that's part of the fun.
Patrick Stewart riding in the big yellow floating chair was one. The other time it's with Ms. Marvel, and then they play the mutant theme song when she says mutants. You know, it's just going to be nods, and it's nothing to worry about or take too seriously. No. You know what I mean?
But some people do take it to that extreme, like, you know, like, this means something, and it's just like, sometimes it doesn't, you know. It's
and then Marvel will just, like, hand boner wave it away with a boner joke.
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at NotAllPods. Visit us on our website at NotAllPodcastWearCapes.com. And send us an email, NotAllPods@gmail.com. Also subscribe and listen to us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play.
Not All Podcasts Wear Capes is a Thaumaturge Wonderworks production.
That's perfect spot to end. If it could end on Ariani's face right now, that's how we should.
We love you. We love it. We love you, Ariani.
Oh my god, the boner won't die.
Are we stopping then?